When it comes to organizational complexity, the federal government makes General Motors look like a lemonade stand. Each department, agency, bureau, branch, office, and program seems to have its own people, agenda, and policies. But for the next administration, it'll be beneficial to look at the government as an integrated whole. For why? Mallory Barg-Bullman, Director of Research at the Partnership for Public Service. Mallory, good to have you back.
Thanks, Tom. The Partnership for Public Service and the IBM Center for the Business of Government last week issued a report called Making Government Work for the American People. And one of the things that we talk about in this report is that the next president, no matter who it is, will face lots of challenges. Zika, improving relationships between citizens and the law enforcement community, and those are just some of the challenges that we know. No matter what, these challenges are going to require the work of more than one agency and frankly, more than one level of government. And it's important for the incoming administration to be ready to tackle those challenges.
Because it doesn't look like that to the incoming administration. They've got to appoint 19 different cabinet-level people and all the other patronage jobs, 4,000 or 5,000 by some counts, that they have to appoint. And those are all separate agencies. So how do they get that government-wide view?
Sure. So one of the things the Partnership for Public Service emphasized in the report is that right now, as the teams are looking at their transition challenges, designating a senior White House champion to support mission-focused cross-agency activity is really important. Two of the three past administrations had vice presidents oversee government-wide initiatives. Vice President Al Gore led the Clinton administration's National Performance Review, and Vice President Joe Biden was tasked by Obama for overseeing the implementation of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. In the next administration, no matter who the president is, we know that the office of the vice president will be occupied by an individual who's been a governor, a seasoned executive who really has the capability and savvy to successfully work across agencies and levels of government. So this is really an opportunity to drive this cross-agency coordination, really think about it ahead of time, and make sure that the next president is prepared to face these interagency challenges.
Now, the Obama administration has had the cross-agency priority goals in place, that kind of initiative through the Office of Management and Budget for some years running. Could that similar apparatus be a way to make sure this happens?
Sure. So the cross-agency priority goals, which, as you know, were mandated through the GIPR Modernization Act of 2010, really set the stage for this cross-government work. The current set of cross-agency priority goals will be in place within the first year also of the current of the next administration. So it's one way to build some continuity between administrations. But the new administration will have to establish a new list of cross-agency priority goals in the 2018 budget. This is really an opportunity to start thinking about what those cross-governmental issues are and how they're going to be implemented. Each cross-agency priority goal has a leader and has to measure on an ongoing basis outcomes. The President's Management Council is also really well-suited to oversee the development and implementation of these enterprise-wide initiatives through coordination with the White House.
Now, you mentioned Zika and law enforcement. Those are seemingly obvious issues that the administration will have to deal with. But whoever comes in will probably have its own agenda, not driven maybe by the news so much. And so how can they get a grip on what agencies they need to implement what it is that they want, whatever
sure.
that might be?
So, you know, right now, each of the campaigns has a variety of issues that are important to them, whether it's around immigration, whether it's around health care, really understanding which agencies it's going to take to accomplish those goals, and also which levers they'll have within the executive office of the president, the center of government, if you will. These are really important things for each of the teams to be starting to think about. And focusing on that enterprise management during the transition is really important. The president-elect's priorities are cross-agency. And determining which of them are, in fact, cross-agency and who is going to be involved is going to be really essential for the team. One thing the Partnership for Public Service is doing right now a lot through our Center for Presidential Transitions is bringing together both of the campaigns and talking with them about what they're trying to accomplish and how to leverage all of the different resources across government and within the center of government, the different things in direct control of the president.
We're speaking with Mallory Barg-Bullman, Director of Research at the Partnership for Public Service. And have you found or have you done this yet that it's useful to show the possible incoming teams the GAO's list of high-risk projects and programs it publishes every year, and many of them are on that list year after year. And also they publish a list of duplicative and overlapping programs that are very costly. That might be a clue to some of this also.
That's exactly right. And GAO is a great resource for agencies to really look at both what are their high-risk issues as well as where are the areas of duplication, overlap, and fragmentation. And GAO also goes a step further to say what agencies should do to rectify that duplication, overlap, and fragmentation. Another thing that GAO has talked about, and also the Partnership for Public Service has as well, is the importance of shared services to reducing this overlap. GAO said, for example, that DOD could save tens of millions of dollars by centralizing the procurement of commercial satellite commercial services. And so that's just one example of places to save money. Again, no matter which administration comes in, looking for ways to cut waste, fraud, and abuse, and also be able to put the very limited resources that the federal government has towards key outcomes that they're trying to achieve is going to be really important. So looking for those opportunities to take money out of wasteful processes and put them towards where you can get a bigger bang for your buck is going to be something everyone's going to look for.
And I'm guessing the people that the partnership and some of the other organizations working on this are speaking to on the transition teams are people that might have familiar names that have been in government before, and they themselves could be a resource to this incoming administration, again, whichever one it might be. There's going to be some people that have been around a while, having been on the transition teams, that can tell them, hey, try this or that.
Well, one of the important things is, you know, at the end of the day, collaboration isn't about agencies collaborating with each other. It's about people collaborating with each other. And so when you have an individual who has held different roles at either different levels of government or different agencies, you do have an opportunity for better opportunities to work together. People know each other. You don't have to, as they always say around emergency management, exchange business cards in the middle of an emergency. I have a really interesting story. After Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, I was talking with some folks over at the Department of Education, and they said in many cases, they were the first ones who got phone calls from folks down in Louisiana after the flooding started. And it wasn't because those individuals thought the Department of Education could necessarily help solve the problem at the moment, but it was because they were the person that they knew. They had that relationship with a grants officer, and it was their connection to the federal government. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about people.
And just one question I wanted to ask you about that's in this latest report that you have put out. It says, embed innovation into the transition, include technologists and data scientists among transition team members. Is that something you find that they're actually doing at all?
Absolutely. So one of the things that the Partnership for Public Service has said in a couple of different of our reports is that a lot of the folks who are typically thought of as mission support should not be pushed in the back office. These are really mission-enabling folks who need to be brought to the forefront, need to be brought into the mission work so that you can focus on how to get it done. An idea is only an idea unless you have the implementation behind it.
Yeah, what do they say? A vision without implementation is hallucination.
That's exactly right.
Mallory Barg-Bowman is Director of Research for the Partnership for Public Service. Let's hope they listen, and thanks for joining me.
Thanks very much.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.